Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. Please enjoy the following message.
Let me give you an update. How many of you have had a good week this week? Had a really good week?
Yeah.
Awesome. That's good. How many of you are ready for some sunshine? It was pretty nice today. Good to have some warmth. And I think we have finished our rain quota for the year. So it's good to... Good to see some warmth happening, coming. This week, I had a really good week. As I said last week, I was in Christchurch, New Zealand. Crusader territory. I was there with... do you have the photo? These are some of our leaders. There's a whole bunch of other leaders, but in typical Nelly fashion, I was about to leave. And I don't have a photo of any leaders. I'll need to introduce the leaders to our church. And so these are some of the leaders on the far left. It's Michael Pederis, and him and the guy sitting next, standing next to me holding coffee is Pastor June Eskesar. They oversee all the church plants in Asia and through our movement. We have over 600 churches across the globe. And I think we're in 73 nations right now. The other guy holding the coffee, standing next to him with the white cap on the coffee, is Jonathan Bokobo. Some of you might remember him. He was here a couple of years ago with the 10 Days Missions team. At the back of myself is the Nigerian gentleman there. He's Caleb, who's the pastor of our Liverpool church in Sydney. And of course, all of you know Joey Bonifacio, author, best-selling author of The Lego Principle, and a legendary pastor in our movement. He was the former leader of our... It's funny because Pastor June is now the leader of our Asia-Pacific region. Pastor Joey was the first leader, and then the guy next to him, the tall American guy next to him, is Scott Dalma, who's our pastor in Japan. So he oversees all of our churches in Japan. He pastors the church in Yokohama, which is one of the largest churches in Japan. And then, of course, the couple, the Nigerian couple at the front there, most of you remember Pastor Joshua was here not long ago. He's our pastor in Sydney South. So we have three churches in Sydney. And just some exciting things happening. I'll just give you a brief update. We're going to next year be planting a church in Fiji. We're really excited about that. Many of you will know Pastor Jared Suniola is going to be heading up. Well, he's already in the plans, building the team. We have many people who are getting involved from our Auckland churches, and we want to be a part of that as well, whether we send a 10 Days Missions team or whether any of you might have a heart. Look, I know that we are not the biggest church in Brisbane, obviously, but I hold my leaders loosely, and if God speaks to you and you want to go to Fiji, by all means, obey God, okay? But we're planning a church in Fiji. Also, continue to pray for our church in Melbourne. Many of you know that they've been without a pastor for a little while, but now Pastor Bernard and Colleen Weverge have taken over the church from Christchurch. So they're from our Christchurch church, which is the church where I was visiting. So they've gone to help and take over that church. We'll be seeing how we can help them as well. Never think, okay, but Pastor Nelly, we're a small church. We need stuff here. I really believe that as we give and as we sow and as we give of our time and make an effort to pray, at the very least, for our churches in the region, we will see a blessing come into our house. So just keep those churches in prayer. Today, we were sitting in some elders and leaders and our elders and pastors in our Auckland churches. Actually, my brother-in-law, Taulu Schuster, and his wife, Rowena, who is my sister, became the senior pastors officially of our South Auckland church, our Southside church. So they're now the senior pastors there as of today. So all these guys flew to Auckland to see them ordained. I obviously, unfortunately, couldn't be there because I've been away so long. And I felt like, you know, I need to be around my family and my family after being, you know, traveling around. so long. But my mom's there representing for my family, so you know they'll kill the pig and all that good stuff. You know how we do, eh, Pepe? all that good stuff. So anyway, that's just a light update. I wanted to just show you some videos on some greetings from some of the members, some of the people that were there, some of the leaders from our different parts of the region. I'll be showing them over the next 3 weeks, just because I took quite a few of them, just so that you can see that we are part of a massive family. So go ahead, Mike. How many of you are ready for the word of the Lord?
Yeah.
All right, the computer says I only have 20 minutes to preach it, so pray for me, all right? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that your word is alive. Your word is alive. Let it live in us, God. We pray, Lord, that you meet us here by your divine presence. We thank you so much, Lord, for the opportunity to hear your word. Lord, I want to move out of the way, and I want to give you full access to speak to us, your children. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen.
Amen.
All right. So we are in our series called Centered, and we just started the series officially last week. So we looked at the first 15 verses of chapter 1. I'm just by way of review, I'm going to just review what we talked about. How many of you remember I talked about the three P's that cause you to identify what your life is centered on? You can tell what a person's life is centered on by what they're passionate about, by what their priority is, and by the people that they surround themselves with, okay? Because they have a tendency to have those same passion and priorities. One thing I didn't mention, how many of you remember and know that there's a reason why they call it the passion of the Christ? Because it's because the word passion comes from the Latin word pater, which means to suffer, actually. But if you look at the Mel Gibson movie, which is The Passion of the Christ, or you look at why they call it the passion, even in the Middle Ages, and during the Renaissance period, they would call it the Passion of St. Matthew or the Passion of St. John. The reason why it would point towards that is because that's how passionate Jesus is and was for you to be set free. He was passionate for you. And so you became the center of his attention from the cross. The only reason why we can center our lives on God is because he first centered his life and death around you. And so last week, many of you will remember this diagram. Faith is the vehicle of which God uses for us to move. Obviously, it can't move without an engine. The center, the engine is love. Everybody say love. Love. Okay, we're not talking about any other type of love other than the unconditional love of God. Again, that can only be found in God. We don't source that ourselves. We source it from the source, who is God. Agape is unconditional, knows no bounds, no boundaries in that love. And that's the engine of which drives our Christ-centered life. And then the direction that it moves in is directed by hope. Okay, so hope is the direction, faith is the vehicle, and love is the engine. We got that? So that's the review of what we talked about last week. Now we're going to look at the next next seven verses, I guess. Or eight. I'll just throw another verse in there for free. How's that? Upsize your combo today. Generous pastor I am. Wow. Okay, let's all read it together. Let's all stand to our feet, just out of reverence for the word of the Lord this afternoon. Let's all read together. One, two.
He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything
Awesome reading. Give yourselves a hand as you take a seat. Bless the reading of your holy word, Lord. Okay, everybody say, by him.
By him.
Through him.
Through him.
For him.
For him.
In him.
In him.
Before him.
Before him.
It's not about me.
No.
A Christ-centered life causes you to discover that it's really not about you. It's all about him. So we're going to break down these statements, but I wanted to focus on this word that we don't use every day. And this is the word preeminent, which we see right here. I feel like a weatherman. Preeminent. Preeminent. I couldn't find the laser on this thing. I was afraid I'd burn my eye out. I don't think there is a laser, right? That's all right. So my hand will be the laser. Sound one style. Preeminent bro. So preeminence. Preeminence means first, but it can mean first in many ways. Firstly, the way it can mean first is that he was the first ever. Okay. Secondly, it can mean first as in he got first place, like he ran a race and he won it. So he's first in that sense. And then thirdly, he is first priority. Have we got that? Those are the three ways that he is first. In order, he existed before existence even began. He was the first ever, which is the primary. He was pre the eminence. He was before all things. So, in the discovery of him being in first place, him taking first place in terms of where he stands, and then him being first in our priorities, or at least visible in the priorities that we see here, we can begin to understand what it means to have a life centered on God, centered on Christ, because a lot of it is wrapped up in the preeminence of God. But you got to understand, he is preeminent whether you like it or not. Okay, that's the difference. And you'll notice that in the first four verses, there's nothing about us. It's all about him. By him, through him, in him. It's all about him. When we show up on the scene, and you, who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, welcome, you're introduced to the picture in light of the preeminence of God. And so hopefully we're beginning to understand that he is preeminent whether we know it, whether we like it or not. There's two types of people in the world. There's the people that understand that he is Lord and the people that don't understand that he is Lord. Doesn't change the fact that he is Lord. You get what I'm saying? He's not Lord. It doesn't matter whether you think he's Lord or not. He is Lord. It's just a matter of whether you know it or not. And so this is the sadness of what we see in Christianity, modern day Christianity. It becomes a very consumer based, where Christ's existence is for my benefit. You got it all wrong. Totally got it all wrong. Christ is preeminent, whether you like it or not. And so let's go through these him statements in order to understand in a deeper sense of what that preeminence means to us. Firstly, is by him. Everybody say, by him.
By him.
You were made by him. You were made by him. Now, many of you may remember, some of you may not, because a lot of you are, a large majority of you are younger than me. And so, in saying that, some of you may not remember the Cabbage Patch Kids, okay? My sister had a Cabbage Patch Kid. I don't know, for some reason, Norm, my mom refused to buy her a Barbie doll. We have a word in Samoan called bae, which means skinny. That Barbie doll's too skinny. Don't look like a Samoan. The Cabbage Patch Kids, though, put that chunk on, you know? That chunk on. So you go get you a Barbie doll. And they came in different colors, all right? Not just white and skinny. They came like Chinese Cabbage Patch Kids. You got the Indian Cabbage Patch Kids. You didn't have a Samoan one, but the Indian kind of looked like you just changed the color, changed the clothes, and then it's Samoan Cabbage Patch Kid, you know. But the thing about the Cabbage Patch Kids, and don't worry, I don't have a photo of this, but the thing about the Cabbage Patch Kids that we noticed was that you could tell who they were made by, because if any of you have owned a Cabbage Patch Kid, they had a signature on the butt. of the Cabbage Patch Kid. It's like this signature. It's really weird. Don't worry, no photo of that. I'm just letting you know that. And don't worry, I'm not going to say, okay, stand up, everybody, and just know that you're made by him. Show them the signature. No, we're not going to do that here either. Okay, we're not that sort of church, just in case you're wondering. But I did want to say that God has a signature on your heart. Whether you know it or not, you were made by God. It's not a matter of what you believe about yourself being made by, you know, whether it's the collision of lucky mud or molecules colliding to form the radiance of yourself. I mean, can you honestly look around this room? Can you honestly say that these beautiful people are accidents? Hey, let me give you something further. The fact that we're sitting in this room from different nations, different cultures, different age brackets. There's us young people, and then there's Mr. Asawa. No, just kidding. Love you, bro. You know, that doesn't happen with evolution. And evolution just provides us with the mindset that only the strongest survive. It's the survival of the fittest. But you gotta think about it. Like, why do atheists bother obeying laws? If it is survival of the fittest, let's just take it to the MMA ring and deal with this thing. About evolution, devolution. We're going backwards here in our thinking. But it doesn't matter, like whether we believe in naturalism, secular humanism, pantheism, or monotheism, which we as Christians believe, it really doesn't matter. He's still God. It doesn't change the fact that he's God. And we were made by him. And you were made in the image of this God. See, as a Christian, when you begin to understand that you are made in his image, and you get that revelation, it causes you to change the way you think. There's no room for being lukewarm. There's no room for, living half-heartedly for God. Because you understand of whose image you were made in. You were made by him. You were made by this God. He has his signature on your heart. So we were made by him, and check this out. All things were created through him and for him. Let me focus on for him. We'll get back to through him in just a second. But you were created for him. So can you imagine the people that are walking around the streets of Brisbane today, on the campuses of UQ, QUT, at your workplace? Some of them don't believe that they were made by him, and some of them don't even understand that they were made for him. There's people in churches all throughout the city that know that they were made by him, but they don't know that they were made for him. You know, there's a difference. Like, you are made for his glory. The life that you live belongs to God. You just steward it. The money that you have in your wallet, or lack thereof, belongs to God. The food you have in your fridge, and I know that hurts a lot more people than the money sometimes, especially on Tuesdays when it's KFC special day. It belongs to God. Your marriage, for those of you who are married, belongs to God. Your wife that you have, that husband you have, belongs to God. The way that you relate as single people, and the relationships that you have, the friendships that God brings your way, belong to God. Everything on this planet belongs to God. Pastor Nelly, are you one of those tithing churches? You talk about 10%, we've got to give it, do we tithe off the gross or the net? Because, if you tithe, it's just gross anyway. So, why do we tithe? Because the 10% is quite a lot, He's God, He's God, mate. Come on. If you understand that everything you have in your wallet belongs to God, you don't think you have to struggle with the 10% you have to give. You praise God for the 90% you get to keep. Actually, you want to give more. Not just to the church, but you want to give to missions. You want to give to see the people of God mobilized so that the gospel can get out. You want to give to those who are doing great things, even in this city, and seeing the poor impacted with the gospel. You want to be able to sow. You're just joyous with the fact that He gave you 90. Not struggling with 10, because if you struggle with 10, that just means that it belongs to you. Does it belong to you? According to the scripture, it's for Him. So you are made by Him, and you were made also for Him. All that we have now is the opportunity to steward it well. Steward your physical health well. Steward your mind well by expanding your mind. And then using the knowledge you have not to puff yourself up, but to give of yourself in presenting the gospel in certain situations that God will open up for you. You were made by Him. You were made for Him. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, you exist for God. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Let me jump down to this part. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Okay? There are many religions, Mormonism included, Jehovah's Witnesses included, that believe that Jesus was not God. We just sang it earlier. Jesus Christ, our God, He is God. The fullness of God dwelled in Jesus. Jesus was God wrapped in human flesh. He is God. But not only that, but understanding that in Him all things hold together. All things hold together. Just say that with me and get that in your spirit. All things hold together. In Him, all things hold together. How many of you have ever felt your life falling apart at times? Maybe right now. Maybe like just before we started singing. No other name. And oh, wow. Because in Him, all things hold together. The whole universe is held together by the hand of the creator of the universe, Jesus Christ. He holds it all together. So in Him, we can put our full trust. So we were made by Him, for Him, and in Him, the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. It didn't just dwell, it was pleased to dwell. There's a difference, you know. How many of you lived in a place but you never felt like anyone was pleased for you to be there? Oh, this guy did. Take your shoes outside. We didn't have onions today and they smell like onions. You know, got those cheesel feet going. You know, I just want to encourage you today to know that the fullness of God was pleased to dwell in Jesus. The beauty of the Trinity is the way that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit dwell and relate to one another as three in one. Now, I don't have time to break down the Trinity. I have like 5 minutes, according to this computer, to break down the rest of my message. But I need you to understand this. Probably the closest human relationship that we will have to the Trinity is the husband and wife relationship. The level of intimacy, the level of selflessness, the act of serving one another, the act of just loving one another to the nth degree. Now you take that to eternal levels, that's the way that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit relate to one another. They love one another, they serve one another, they consistently lift one another up. You show me a marriage where the husband gets a little selfish and spends more time trying to get from his marriage than give in his marriage, that's a marriage that's doomed to fail. Or the wife spends more time or more passion not being centered towards making her marriage work and works on other things and prioritizes other things, that's a marriage doomed to fail. And you wonder why people are running away from wedding altars by the droves in this generation. Marriage doesn't work, they say. Because look at the divorce rate. The divorce rate is just as high in some countries, if not higher in some Western countries, in the church as it is outside of the church. Why? It's because we preach this false gospel of self-centeredness, that God exists for me, my wife exists for me, my husband exists for me. And let me tell you, all you single people in here, just be encouraged not to idolize or make an idol of your future spouse. Because he will fail you every time. He's not God. He may look like a God, but he ain't God. Okay? He's going to fail you. And for those of you who grew up with like kind of a stigma towards pastors who are men of God and it's supposed to be like these holy figures, just talk to my wife. She'll tell you quickly in the most covering and loving of ways that I am imperfect. I am a sinner and a hypocrite saved by grace. And the only reason why I stand here is because he saved me. And so we understand that we're made for him. Like the reason why I'm standing up here preaching to you guys is for him. It's not for me. Because I make a terrible, terrible Jesus. A terrible God. I'm trying to grow the beard, but it's not working, all right? Okay, we put that in him. So we go back to this part of the passage here. And you were once alienated and hostile in mind, evil deeds. And see, what a great introduction for yourself. Like everything previous to that has been all about Jesus and how amazing he is as the creator of the universe. Just in him, by him, through him, all things are. It's all about him. And then you come on the scene. You're an alien, firstly. Hello. And then secondly, you're hostile in mind. You're not only alien, but you're a crazy alien. Doing evil deeds. Now let's break that down for real, for real. Okay, you're alienated. You're alienated, meaning that you have a tendency to isolate yourself away from God. There are so many people running away from this message that I'm preaching to you today, which is basically the gospel. Firstly, it's God-centered, and then he creates us for his glory. But then we fall, and then we have a tendency to alienate ourselves, much like Adam did in the garden. He ran off and tried to hide from God, like that's possible. And then God says, out of the grace of his heart, says, "Where are you?" Like he can't see you, like he's some old man with Alzheimer's. "Oh, you see my son?" He is God. The reason why he asked, "Where are you?" was not for God to know where he was, but for Adam to know where he was. Where are you? You've alienated yourself. And then what? How did he respond? He got hostile in mind. Remember, he said, the woman that you gave me, she's the one that made me eat the apple, the fruit. I didn't believe it was an apple. I think it was a durian there. All my Filipinos know about durian. Those of you who've never heard of a durian, it's this spiky fruit. It's demonic. It smells like gym lockers, but for some reason Filipinos love it. Malaysians and Singaporeans love this fruit. It smells like the gym locker after like a teenage football team has played two games. And they left their socks right in the middle. That's what the fruit smells like. I believe that's what the fruit... probably tasted good before the fall. But after she partook of it, tasted like socks, man. So alienated. And hostile in mind. Trying to find a place to blame it, So the woman that you gave me, and then she became hostile in mind. You remember what she said? It was the serpent. We all know the bad joke. Serpent had no one to blame, so he had no leg to stand on. Whatever. Just stick to the socks now, Lisa. Stick to the socks. So alienated, hostile in mind, and doing evil deeds. Okay? Many of us have this as a testimony. And I want to encourage you that Christ has created you. Firstly, you were made by him. You were made for his glory. There's no other place to live but in that place. The preacher Miles Monroe said, where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. If you don't know why you were created, you'll inevitably abuse yourself. So you were made by him, you were made for him. And it's in him that God was pleased to dwell. We can trust our God. That is alive. And the great thing about it is he's alive in us too, as followers of Christ. So we're at a point of choice. We either live alienated, hostile in mind, still continuing to do evil deeds, or we live in the purposes that we find being made by him, for him, and in him. Now check this out. He has now reconciled his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. Everybody say, before him.
Before.
This is where I'm going to close. Now I need you to understand this. We will all stand before him. And we understand that. And I want you to notice this too. Just like it was all about him before we even existed, and then we came on the scene, alienated, nuts in our mind, doing evil deeds. It doesn't say anything about us trying to be better. And though, you know, they committed to reading their Bibles more and giving more and helping the poor more, it doesn't say anything about that helping you to get in right standing. What does it say? What does the scripture say about our standing? We come back into right standing because we are reconciled in his body of flesh, not by our body of work, but his body of flesh, by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless, above reproach before him. And I'm here to tell you today that you in this room, every single one of us, will stand before him. Stand before his throne. And I can tell you, as you know, as I've said over the last couple of weeks, as somebody who's been in church his whole life, as a pastor's son and, you know, pastor now myself, that none of that really matters. None of this working title stuff really matters. It all hinges on us understanding how far we are from the glory of God, how far we are from perfection, how far we are from right standing in God, but how he pulls, as his arm is stretched and pulls us towards him and reconciling us to himself through his death. He pulls us before him. And so when we sing this song like no other name, and then the earth will shake and tremble before you, we will sing, holy is the name, holy is the name of Jesus. We understand that he is Lord. We understand that we find our perfect purpose in him. And we can come before him now blameless, not because of any effort or any things that we've done with a spiritual curriculum vitae or a resume. Look, Lord, what I've done. Look what I did at UQ. Look what I did at, you know, for the church. Look what I did for, you know, this organization or this ministry. None of that really matters in light of the fact that he paid it all to reconcile us to himself. And that is the starting point of it all. That's where we begin. See, it is no accident that when we are introduced in the book of Colossians, we find ourselves full of sin. Because that's exactly where we should find ourselves. Do you understand? And this is going to sound really harsh, but I'm glad it'll stick in your mind before you leave. I need you to understand this. You all don't deserve heaven. None of us. Myself. We don't deserve heaven. Not only because of the activity and the things that we've done, but the fact that we were born with a sinful nature separates us from the perfection and the holiness of this righteous God. But it's because of his love for us that he reconciles us to himself. He draws us through the work of the cross. And he reminds us today that we're not here because of anything that we've done. We're here because he said it is done. And that's where it all starts from today. So again, there are two types of people in this room today. There are two types of people in this room today. There are firstly those who realize and recognize, wow, what a price God has paid for me to be alive, to find this purpose, this meaning that I have in this life. What a price he's paid. Wow, I thank you. You've given me everything that I need, like purpose, provision. You give me a zeal for life, a passion. And I'm just really thankful to be alive. And I'm thankful that my life belongs to you. I was made by you. I was made for you. And I was made in you. And now I can stand before you, blameless. made righteous because of what you've done. I'm no longer the man that you talked about earlier. I'm no longer alienated, isolated by myself. You see, as a follower of Christ, no matter where you are, He is Emmanuel. He's God with you. You don't need to feel lonely anymore. Single people, look up at me. You don't have to feel lonely anymore. I'm serious with all my heart. It's easy to laugh now. And married people, you don't need to feel alienated and lonely anymore. That goes for all of us. Because the enemy's tactic will always try to cause us to isolate ourselves and put on fig leaves as man's means to clothe ourselves. And he's like, that's not what I designed your body to wear. I designed your body to wear a garment of praise. You are made by me, for me, in me, and now you can come before me as my child. Because it's like, and I'll end with this, it's like he is a righteous judge. He has to be a righteous judge. He has to be. He has to be just as a righteous judge. And so he stands before all of us and he says, guilty as charged. All of you. Every single one of you. Especially you, Nelly. You're guilty. You deserve eternal separation from him. Then he descends from the judge's stand and he takes on flesh. And he takes the wrath. Yes, he is just. But he's also love. He's also loving. And that's why we're seated in this room today. From different nationalities. From different age and stages of our life. We are seated here not because of what you've done. Don't get fooled into that mindset. And thinking that, you know, we give of ourselves. We serve and... How come the pastor didn't shake my hand? How come this didn't happen? Oh, well, you know, what was me? I'm just going to go isolate myself. Please don't fall into that trap. Don't fall into that trap. Because that's religion. That's ritualism. When you start to do it for yourself, when you keep up appearances, well, I better show up to church because I know that this person's looking for me. Well, I better show up to church because it's my ritual. No, show up to church to meet God. Meet the God who made you. You were made by Him. You were made for Him. You were made in Him. And now you can stand before Him in a service like this and meet other people that were made by Him, for Him, and in Him. And come and celebrate His goodness together. Because you were once alienated. Hostile in mind. Doing evil deeds. But now you've been saved. Because you realize that you're made by Him, for Him, in Him, and through Him, you've been reconciled. You stand before Him. And there's some of us in this room today, by the Spirit of God, He's showing me right now, that there's some of us in this room that have been battling habits, like repeated activity, and like you've had victory over it for like a month, 2 months, and you're like, yeah, man, look, I got this. That's the problem. You say, I got this. Yeah. It's by the grace of God you're going to overcome that addiction or that habit or whatever it is. And God is here to say, you will find that victory if you understand that you were made by me, for me, in me, and through me, you will have the victory. It's not going to be by your own human effort. I don't care what books you buy at the self-help. That will help you for a season, but there will always be that temptation because the enemy knows that's a weak point. All he has to do is pull you aside by yourself, just allow you to get in environments of stress where you won't turn to the Word of God. You'll turn to whatever that thing is to relieve you, to do what only God can do. And it's only in that moment that as you begin to trust God, He breaks the yoke. Snaps it because he understands you have found your identity in the one you were made. You were made by him. So let's stand on our feet. I'm just going to pray for you today. Lord, as we're here today, For some of us, we know in this room where we stand with you, but it's been a wrestling, God. It's just that some of us have allowed you know, just ourselves to kind of eclipse your glory. And so we understand now your preeminence in our lives and in the world and in our existence. And God, we thank you for the revelation that comes from your word, that we were made by you, for you, in you, and through you we have reconciliation so we can stand before you blameless. And Lord, I believe that there's many in here. I believe that there's even people that have been here for a while but just haven't quite had that breakthrough, that relationship with you where they've experienced the fullness of the power that you have for them to overcome sin, to be able to be the witness that you want them to be in their workplaces or in their schools, Lord God. Father, I thank you for the revelation by your Holy Spirit. It's got nothing to do with me. I know it's from you. And so, Lord, I want to make way for people to respond today. Just allow the opportunity for people to take that bold step and surrender their lives to you. If that's you today and you want to get serious with God, no more playing games. You understand that you were made by him, for him, in him, and through him, you've been reconciled. He offers this opportunity for you to respond. If that's you today, just so that I know who I'm praying for, can you just lift your hand and just say, "Pastor, now pray for me. Lord, I want to pray for these people." Anybody else? Father, I pray for these ones who have their hands up. Lord, it's time. We're gonna get serious with you today. No more playing games, God. We know that you've given us everything we need to overcome. And Lord, although it may be hard, we thank you that you know exactly what it is to suffer because of what you're passionate about. Because you took the cross. And we know you identify with us in our weakness. And so God, we want to surrender. We want to surrender our lives, surrender our hearts afresh to you today. There's the significance, for those of you who lift your hand, nobody else, if you've lifted your hand, just look up at me really quickly. I just want to give you the opportunity today just to understand that there's the significance of bringing whatever it is or your life to the altar as a sacrifice. And just as a public statement, I want to invite you to respond just by coming out of your chairs and coming forward and just saying, "God, I'm laying it down. I'm making the sacrifice today." It's up to you whether you make that choice, but I want to encourage you today that as you have made this decision, as you make this decision, there's a promise that the Lord will not be ashamed of you before the Father if you are unashamed of him before man. So if that's you, just come forward and just come and stand here. Father, I just want to pray for these ones, God. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity to give of ourselves, Lord. To give ourselves away. Understanding that you've paid this awesome price. That we will no longer be the same. Pray, Lord. I pray for a deep infilling with the Holy Spirit. Your Holy Spirit, come. Spirit of God, come. For my brothers and sisters afresh. Give them everything that they need to be empowered to overcome the attacks of the enemy. Lord, we thank you that the yoke is broken, that every chain is broken right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we thank you that every yoke of sin is broken right now in Jesus' name. The shame of the past is broken right now in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that every addiction, Lord God, is broken right now. Every chain that will try to bind itself around addiction and patterns, Lord God, right now, habitual patterns, we break them right now. In the name of Jesus, we thank you that there is victory through the cross, Lord God. And Father, I thank you for that freedom. I thank you for that freedom that you purchased for us at the cross. We are free. We're free in you today. We are free in you. Thank you for that. Thank you, Lord. I thank you that those three words were uttered by yourself at the cross. And now I just remind my brothers and my sisters of that, those three words. It is finished. It is finished. No more. It is finished. God has broken the chains, and it is finished today. Just take a seat really quickly as we close. I know I've said as we close before, but we're really closing now. I want to give you this opportunity. Let's put a Monday handle on this message, because I know that it's easy to preach a message like the gospel and not just kind of. I know that everybody in this room has been touched by the Holy Spirit, touched by God. But let's do something with that touch. I really believe the Holy Spirit's going to highlight some things in the next 30 seconds that we need to do as a response. Some of you, it might be to establish prayer for other people. It might be a new attitude towards prayer. It might be just being a lot more committed to a lifestyle of prayer and seeking the God who you were made in the image of. But let's just take a moment just to reflect. I'm just going to give you 2 minutes, and I'd encourage you to write down whatever God's showing you. Some of you might even be starting a connect group, starting a small group. That's you. You can come and talk to myself. I can help you to get that started. But whatever it is, you know, let's just take this opportunity just to chew on what God's given us. I know it's quite a bit, but it's really easy for life to get on top of us once we leave these doors. So I want to avail this opportunity. Just a couple of minutes. I'm just going to get Helen to come up and close us out in prayer. If you need prayer for anything as we close, please don't hesitate to come up in front. We'd love to pray for you. We'll see how we can help serve you as well. But I'm going to get Helen to close us out as we close.
You know, just before I pray, I just really believe that God's here. He loves you so much. You know, His presence is here, and there is fullness of joy in the presence of the Lord. And I just really sense that the Lord wants to touch you where you are, right in the place where you are. There's nothing too great or too, you know, too big for God. Those situations, those things that you're going through, even those things that are causing your mind to be distracted at the moment, and, you know, God is so much bigger. So I just want to encourage everyone that the Lord is here. He sees you, He knows you, and He loves you so much. Let us pray. Father, thank you, Lord, that you're a God who loves us so much. A God who is here and for us, God. I thank you, God, for the purposes and the plans that you have for us. Your word promises, Lord, and says that your will is good, pleasing, and perfect. We receive that, God, this evening. We receive and your love that you have for us, God, as a people, as your children. Thank you, God, that you are not, that you are for us and not against us. Thank you, Father, that you know the plans for us, and they are great plans, Lord. Thank you, Father, that as we leave here tonight, God, thank you, God, that just for the encounter with you this evening, through this word, but just through the entire service, Lord, you knew exactly what to speak to us this evening. You knew exactly what we needed, God. And thank you, Father, we're not leaving here empty-handed, but full, God, filled with your Spirit, filled with encouragement, your Spirit of encouragement that is here this evening. We thank you, God. Bless the rest of this evening. Bless our week, God. Use us, God, mightily in our workplaces and our schools, Lord, wherever it may be, in the fields that we serve in, God, throughout the week. May we be your light, God, in those places. May we be your instruments, your ministers of reconciliation in those places, God. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you as you're dismissed. But feel free to stick around here for a little bit if you want to reflect. I know God's doing some stuff in all of you, so do what you need to do. I mean, don't leave here until God's done with you, or until Lily's done with you, because we need to be out of here at a certain time as well. But one day we will own a venue like this. Amen.
Yes.
Come on, classrooms and a theater like downstairs. We are better than that. Come on. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. By you, for you, in you, through you. You take it, Lord. Okay, so, yeah. If you... also, I wanted to just highlight the volunteer day that's happening on the 13th of September. If you're interested in serving one in whatever area, even if you're just visiting, please do come and attend. It's at our new home in Upper Mount Gravatt. So we'd love to have you guys come along, whether you want to, you know, lead a connect group or serve in one of the ministries here or do both or whatever. You know, we'll find out how we can best connect you to areas you can serve in. Amen? All right, you're dismissed at whatever time until there is a time. God bless you. Peace.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. Thank you for listening. God bless.